Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Bob Port. And Bob and I are going to discuss week three of the Sheldon Silver trial, as well as week one of the Dean Skelos trial. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Hello, Cynthia. I'm good. Good to be with you.
Have you... During the week, did anything shocking in the face that said, oh, my God, I don't believe that happened?
Having been a journalist for three decades, not very much shocks me. But I think that probably the most surprising thing for many people were the wiretaps that were played in court in the trial of former Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos. I think hearing these telephone conversations between a senator and his son, both of them accused of using the father's influence to get the son essentially no-show work, no-show jobs, were shocking to people. Some pretty profane language and some statements about politics in Albany that confirmed the suspicions of many people as to the motives of Senator Skelos. The Sheldon Silver trial had a lot of interesting testimony this week, and both sides rested, but it's a bit of a more technical case.
So out of the two cases, do you think that the Silver trial is the more boring one?
It's not boring to me. It's fascinating, and I know it is to a lot of people who follow Albany politics, but I think to the broader public, yes. And one of the stories we saw about a week ago, the New York Post kind of played it up. There are some jurors who were just falling asleep or were at some key points in the testimony, and that's an indication that it's kind of dragging on. But the information that came out painted a very vivid portrait of some of the more technical criminal charges against former Speaker Sheldon Silver. And I have to say, some of the evidence was pretty strong. There are seven counts in that case. Both sides rested. And if all goes to plan, Monday they'll have closing arguments. The jury will be charged. And with a day, 2 days before Thanksgiving, they're going to have to sit and fill out a long verdict form. The pressure will be on them to finish it up.
So if you think that there'll be pressure on the jury to get this done by Wednesday, do you think, you know, I want to use the word coercion. That's like, okay, I know I've got to get this done in this amount of time. I've got to make a decision in this amount of time. That's really putting the pressure on them, wouldn't you think?
It is, but that, and, you know, I should just make clear, they can take as long as they want within reason, and they can ask questions, they can have testimony read back, they can carefully go over evidence, so they don't have to reach a verdict in 2 days, but human nature is going to tend to push people to think that way. It's a simple question, guilty or not guilty on seven different charges. And they've sat through 3 weeks of testimony. The judge, who seems very good in this case, is going to tell them what they need to do. And if there's consensus, as there often can be in cases like this, if there's no holdout juror who has a different point of view, sometimes we see verdicts that come very, very fast. In the case of former Senator Joe Bruno in his second trial where he was acquitted, the jury was only out about 2 hours. They had no trouble acquitting that former senator on everything. I don't think this case with Speaker Silver will be so simple, but we'll see.
Come January, okay, I forget, this is a question that's really important. If Silver is found guilty, does that mean he automatically has to resign?
Yes. Yes, under New York state law, he will forfeit his position in the New York Assembly. He will no longer be an assembly man, which he is now, and there should be a special election called to fill his seat in lower Manhattan. He's convicted.
Will he have to forfeit his pension?
Under current New York state law, no. And that has been a subject hotly debated in the legislature in recent years. But there is no law that deprives him of his pension. And really, it is protected by the New York state constitution. Pensions in general are treated as sacrosanct under New York law. Mm-hmm. And he has all the resources of his campaign funds to pay legal costs should he go with an appeal or any future legal work.
Now, I don't know if you ever met Sheldon Silver.
Yes,
but
I have.
But if he is acquitted and he remains in the assembly, do you think he would be happy just to be a regular member?
I suspect he would. I think he has committed his life to the New York Assembly. And even as damaged politically as he already is after this whole affair, this is not a man who wants to give up. He has a vote. And he has actually tremendous technical knowledge of the inner workings of the assembly. And he's still consulted by the new leaders and by his fellow Democrats in the assembly. Extremely intelligent man who understands the New York law and the way politics works in the legislature.
If he does beat all the charges, do you think Hastie is going to be put under pressure to give back the speakership to Silver?
No, I don't see that happening. I think that whatever verdict occurs in this case, anyone who reads the details of it, who follows what came out during the trial, cannot see it as anything but an indictment of Albany itself and the pay-to-play culture and the weaknesses of our ethics rules and the oversight of how legislators make money. So I don't see Speaker Silver ever returning as Speaker. It just becomes too politically contentious. There's still a very active movement to enact tougher ethics rules that's where I see the assembly being pushed. Whether Speaker Hastie pursues that or not, we'll see. He has said he would. He essentially has done nothing.
Right. I recently read that he's going to disregard that whole thing. So do you think that the Skelos trial is more damaging to the defendant than the Silver trial is?
Politically, yes. It's embarrassing to a very high degree, and it exposes a kind of behavior, a bullying behavior, almost mob-like. It's a very different case against Senator Skelos than against Speaker Silver. It just reveals a kind of craven attitude about what one is doing as an elected lawmaker and a leader that is very raw and very, very humiliating to New York and to the legislature. You know, will he be convicted? I think that trial has a long way to go, but it's difficult to imagine jurors in that case not being pretty horrified at what they're seeing unfold.
More horrifying than the testimony in the Silver trial.
I think so, politically, at a sort of basic human level. Speaker Silver is very, very good, very careful, and the Silver trial has been devoted to were the many ways Sheldon Silver concealed his personal financial gain, made it impossible for reporters, observers to know where he was getting his money. There are no horrifying tapes of Speaker Silver uttering profanities about others in state government.
Mm-hmm. So from what you've observed and from what you read, mm-hmm. how long do you think the Scalise trial will go on?
These things are, they tend to be planned out longer than they typically actually do take. Federal judges are very good at moving things along. I think they've blocked out 4 weeks or so. Perhaps it will take that long, 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. We have a holiday coming.
Right.
And that breaks things up. So I can only guess it will take about as long as they are planning, 4 weeks.
The fact that both trials coincided with one another, do you think that diluted the whole process?
No. I think it really creates kind of a spectacle and just draws even more attention to it. The New York Times, for example, which has three reporters working on these two cases and some others chipping in, has an entire sort of sub-website devoted to it called Albany on Trial. It's a very nice collection of coverage.
Would you say it was a spectacle for entertainment or for information?
Both.
Okay.
I don't know how entertaining it is to many people, but it doesn't take much to get a gaggle of TV cameras and reporters outside the federal court in Lower Manhattan. And there's been some of that. It's coverage by the local Time Warner Cable News, and local TV stations are following it. So it's a bit of a spectacle, but that kind of coverage rarely delves too deeply into the details of the case.
You know, as a former journalist or a journalist, you understand more acutely than the average person does. Do you think the average person is grasping all this, or it's like, this is just the way Albany is? Will it have an impact?
I have to be a little bit cynical and say the latter of what you described, Cynthia. I think for a lot of people, especially in New York City, they view Albany as a faraway place, a faraway thing, and there is a tendency to just sort of shrug and say, oh, they're all crooks. And it's sad because there are a lot of very ethical and very sincere, earnest people in the New York legislature. They're going to be tarred by this, no matter what anyone thinks. But no, I'm not sensing in what I read that the public really does grasp what's wrong. And that can only come over time. If there is a conviction, I think that will kind of wake people up, or convictions, plural, to this whole subject a bit more. But people in New York have become very cynical, and we see this in low voter turnout, some of the lowest turnout rates in the United States. We're really almost at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to voter participation in state government.
Now, if there's an acquittal in both trials, or even if one trial, what do you think that's going to do to the reputation of this U.S. attorney?
It will damage it perhaps a little bit. I mean, when a defendant is acquitted in a big case of this nature, If Mr. Silver is acquitted, you can bet he's going to come out and make some very strong statements, and he would be entitled to. I don't think that that is likely, but we'll have to see. Will that stop Barrera from pursuing other cases he may have in the pipeline? I seriously doubt it. U.S. attorneys, when they believe in their hearts, which is their ethical mandate, that someone is engaged in crime, they basically never stop.
Wow. So next week is Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving. And I would assume that it's only going to be a 3-day week for the court.
That's right.
Do you think much will come out of this coming week?
In Silver's case, we're simply going to see the closing arguments. And the defense, you know, maybe the most interesting event this week was they rested without putting on a case. Without putting on witnesses. And so they are going for a reasonable doubt verdict. They're going to have to make a very eloquent argument to the jury on Monday that the government hasn't proven any of its charges. And that's all we're going to see there. In Mr. Skella's case, I don't know quite what's coming up, but it's going to be more of the same.
Okay. So next week is Thanksgiving, and I will be away. So I will contact you after I get back, and we can talk about what transpired and what it all means.
That would be fine.
Great. Yeah,
I think it'd be a great chance to dig into the seven different charges against Mr. Silver and how these things end up, if we know.
Okay. So you've been listening to Focus on Albany with my guest today, Bob Port. If you like Focus on Albany, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download on your smartphone and listen to Focus on Albany anywhere, anytime. Bob, thank you, and have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye.
You too, Cynthia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.